Open your Bibles up, if you would, to Psalm 122 this morning. Psalm 122, if you didn't bring your Bible with you, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. Psalm 122. Like myself, many of us were shocked by the events that took place yesterday. Woke up yesterday morning to the bombing and things that are taking place in Israel. And we don't understand why people do what they do, but honestly, we do understand why people do what they do, because this world is evil. And people do not love God. There are people who hate God, and therefore there are people who hate God's children and God's people. We understand this, though, that nothing takes place that God's not in control of. God has it all handled. And God's got it all taken care of. We need to simply trust in Him. But the question rises, what do we do? What do we do about the attack on Israel? How do we handle that? Well, let's look at what Scripture says to do about that. Look at Psalm 122, verse number 6. We're going to look at four different passages this morning. But Psalm 122, verse number 6. The psalmist writes, he says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they shall prosper that love thee." Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And oftentimes down through the years, people have done that and have said that. But what does that really mean? Does that mean that the whole city of Jerusalem will be peaceful? One day that's going to take place. But when it says pray for the peace of Jerusalem, what that really means is, God, will you please bring about what you have promised is going to take place? See, right now, if the rockets stopped firing from both sides, there would not be peace in Jerusalem. There would still be the same problems of sin. There would still be the same problems of separation. There would still be the same problems that everybody's got to deal with. So what does it mean to have true peace? True peace is this: knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's true peace. So when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, what we're essentially saying is, God, would you please usher in your kingdom as you promised is going to happen? See, because God has promised us that He is going to reform this earth. He has promised us that Jesus Christ is going to return for His church. He has promised us that there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. He has promised us that Satan's going to be bound up. He has promised us that one day Jesus Christ Himself will rule and reign on this earth, and there will indeed be peace in Jerusalem at that time. So when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that's what we're praying for. But look at the second thing. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Let me show you something else. It's in the New Testament, right before 2 Timothy. Y'all are a cold crowd this morning. Come on now. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. What else should we do? 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1. Here's something we don't often think about, but something very vital. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." But look at verse number 2. "For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. See, here's the thing. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our mayors, our governors, our senators, our representatives. We need to pray for those in Congress. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for the authorities over there, because guess what? All it takes is for one of them people that don't love the Lord or want to hurt people to push a button and nuclear Armageddon sets off. We need to pray for the authorities, that they would be subjected to the authority of God. We need to pray for our president, that he would be led by the ways of God. We need to pray for all the people who have any kind of authority, that they would indeed be led of God. Because honestly, If we don't do that, the decisions that they make ultimately affect us. So we need to pray for them this morning. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray that God's will be done. We're going to pray that God will intervene. We're going to pray that all the authorities will make the right decisions based upon what God wants and not what they want this morning. So let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You humbly asking Your will to be done. Lord, I don't understand all the ins and outs and all the things that are taking place in the Mideast right now at this very moment, but You do. Lord, I pray, God, that first and foremost that You would be glorified through this. Asking You, Lord, that You would be lifted high and that people would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior because of what's taking place. Lord, as human beings, may we have love and respect for everybody. May we pray and respect and witness to Jewish people. May we pray and respect and witness to Arab people. May we pray and respect and witness to our neighbors and to everybody that we know. Because if we believe Your word is true, if we believe that You're soon going to send Jesus Christ to this earth, that God, that we will understand and realize that there's going to be people who are going to be affected by that. I'm asking You, Father, that we would be lights and we would be those who show people who God really is. But Lord, we pray for all those in authority, those who are in Israel, those who are in Palestine, those who are in Hamas and Hezbollah, Lord, and Iran and China and Russia and Ukraine, in Washington, D.C. We pray for our leaders. We pray, God, that first and foremost they would seek Your face, the true and living God. That, God, You would give wisdom and discernment and understanding those things. That, God, You would be pleased. Because, Father, we realize as human beings that those in authority are the ones that dictate what happens. So, Father, please move, work, live in their lives. Cause them to do Your will and not ours. We love You, Father, and we thank You, and we look forward to what You're going to do. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Emily, come on up if you would. Usually Scott comes up and has a missions report. This morning we're going to have a local missions report. Emily is trying to raise money to go on a missions trip. And so she wants to give an update and report about what God's doing in that this morning.
Thank you, Brian. Okay, so as you may know, I am raising money to go on a mission trip to South Africa this coming January. Just as a recap of that, I am going with Camp Living Water right up the street, and we are going over there to help run a camp over there in South Africa. Now, this camp usually is run every 3 to 4 years, but after this year, the staff in South Africa will train with us, and they will get to run that camp annually on their own, so the kids over there can have their own camp. Now, the main goal, the end goal, is to raise $4,200. So far, we have raised roughly $2,600.
Amen.
So, we still have $1,600 to go, but we are getting there. We are so close, I can see the end of the tunnel. So one of the main fundraisers coming up is this coming Saturday. I'm hosting a yard sale here at Victory Baptist Church. It's going to be from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., we're going to have the yard sale here. If you have any donations, anything you're looking to get rid of, you want to do some fall cleaning, you can empty your sheds, your closets, anything. I am taking donations from that. And if you don't have anything but you want to give monetary donations, I am also open to accepting those. The next main deadline is October 15th coming up. It'll be next Sunday. And I need another $500 by then. So hopefully the yard sale will help to get me to that goal, but I am putting all of my trust in God. I'm putting all of this whole entire mission trip, I'm putting on Him. I don't have any worry, I don't have any doubt, because I know it's in His hands. So, yeah, thank you.
Amen. 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 So if you don't have enough junk in your house, come over here and buy some more junk on Saturday. And so praise the Lord. Thank you, Emily. Like she said, if you've got any donations that you want to make towards her to help her to sell these things, come and bring them to her. Contact her, Emily. If you have any questions, please see her and ask her. She'll be glad to answer anything you've got. Her mom, raise your hand, Katie. All right. Her mom's right there. If you can't get a hold of Emily, get a hold of Katie and go from there. Oh, she got flyers to pass out as you go out this morning. Okay. Thank you so much, Emily. Appreciate that. All right. Gentlemen, come on forward. We'll take up our morning offering. Come on down. Got one. Got two. Got three. Amen. All right, Marcus, would you pray for the offering? I'm just teasing. Justin, would you pray for the offering?
151 in your church hymnal, if you'd like a book. Praise Him this morning. Praise Him that we're free this morning. Amen. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing all earth His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangel in glory, strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. While the choir comes down and the children can be dismissed to children's church. Good morning to everybody. Good to see everybody this morning. Good to see our visitors. Welcome to our visitors. We love visitors here this morning. And if you'll see the pastor after church, he'll give you a crisp $100 bill apiece. Wasn't that what you said?
Yeah.
Almost true story.
Almost. This is by request this morning. I'll meet you in the morning. Sing a couple verses of that this morning. I will meet you in the morning by the bright river side, when all sorrow has drifted away. I'll be standing at the portals when the gates open wide, at the close of life's long dreary day. Now, I'll meet you in the morning at the end of the way.
I will meet you in the morning at the end of the way, in the street of that city of gold, where we all can be together and be happy for a while the years and the ages shall roll. How do you do? Sit down city.
City built by city, built four square.
Thank you. Maybe seated.
Really loves us.
What a friend, what a Savior he is.
Amen. I need to make an apology. Marcus, I'm sorry. I did not mean to embarrass him this morning whatsoever. Usually he's very gabby and he likes to talk, and I figured he might want to pray this morning. But I didn't ask him before, and so Marcus, please forgive me for doing that to you. I would never do that on purpose. Amen. All right, open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8 this morning. Going through a bunch of sayings that Jesus spoke to people in times of need and in situations in their lives. And in John chapter 8, there's one particular phrase that Jesus says that should mean a lot to every single human being in this place, either now or sometime in the future, maybe even in your past. And it's something that if we'll take it to heart and realize where Jesus was coming from when he said this, how important it really was. John chapter 8, verse number 11. We'll get into the story in just a second, but I want us to look at the phrase he says. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Now go and sin no more." Neither do I condemn thee. Now go and sin no more. Now the context of the story, if you're not familiar with the situation, is that a woman is obviously caught in doing something that is not only illegal, but it's immoral. She's having a sexual encounter with somebody that is not her spouse. Now, I'm not here to castigate. I'm not here to say it was her fault. I'm not here to say that it was his fault, because we all make mistakes. We all sin. We've all come short of the glory of God. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit speaks to us and shows us and directs us. And oftentimes, we're in the middle of doing these wrong things. We know that we're doing wrong, and we already feel bad enough as it is about it. And if we have any exposure whatsoever to the things of the Bible and the teachings of God, we know that we've done wrong, and we've done wrong, we're doing wrong in the sight of God, and we're already condemning ourselves. And we already realize and understand that people around us see what's going on, and they understand what's going on, and they're condemning us. And so sometimes we wonder, is there really any hope? Because I've messed up. But I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands this morning. But my question would be to you, have you ever felt like you've been condemned? Have you ever felt like you're being judged by other people? Have you ever felt like God is judging you? Have you ever been in that situation? So this woman is involved in this relationship with this man, and we don't know how long it's been going on. We don't know what's been taking place exactly, but we do know that she was being watched. And we do know that the people who bring it out have been understanding and watching to see when they can finally catch her. Not only has she done wrong, she's being used as a tool. Because at this time, these people were trying to find something to get Jesus for. They were always trying to get Jesus to fault in what he says and how he says it and when he said it. So she was being used also at this time. So sure enough, she gets involved and she's in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person. They rush into the house, and as what's going on takes place, they grab her, but they leave the man. And I don't quite understand why that is, and we'll get it. That's a whole different situation and issue. But they grab her and they drag her, kicking and screaming, I'm sure, to the temple. Now, the place of the temple was where they were worshiping. They're supposed to come and worship God. They're supposed to come and give of their tithes, and they're supposed to come and worship God and make sacrifices. And as Jesus is teaching in the temple, they grab her and they throw her, unclothed practically, at the presence of Jesus himself. But not only in the presence of Jesus, they throw her in the presence of everybody who's standing around listening to Jesus speak. You talk about embarrassing. You talk about being condemned. I don't believe that any of us in this room would love to be caught in what we're doing wrong and it made known to everybody around us. I don't think we'd like that very much. So that's the situation that she finds herself in. Verse number one, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. I can just hear it dripping from their voices. We caught her. We caught her. She was doing what she shouldn't be doing. And if all honesty, we could put ourselves in this situation and the world's condemning us and saying, we caught you. We caught you. Verse number five. They remind Jesus of what the law said. Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? The law says that she's to be killed with stones. That we're to take these gigantic stones and we're to bash her head in because of what she's been caught doing wrong. Now, the Bible very clearly teaches that the wages of sin is death. Very clear. The wages of sin is death. When you sin, you have died spiritually. Sometimes our sin causes us to die physically. But we understand and realize that sin is a big problem and we all have experienced it. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. But the problem lies also when we're condemned by everybody else. Now look at me for just a moment. Have you ever been condemned by everybody else? Have you always wondered when you're walking around what people are saying about you? Makes you feel like this, don't it? Makes you feel like nobody really cares. Now here's this woman caught in the very act. She's thrown in front of Jesus, the Master. And the law says, condemn her, kill her. So what are you going to do about this, Jesus? They ask him, what do you say? They said this, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. They were trying to catch him in saying against the law. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. What did he write? There's a lot of conjecture. Some people believe that he began to write the names of her accusers. Some people believe that he began to write the name of the person that she was involved with. Some people believe that he was writing the sins that she had been involved in. Some people believe he was just doodling. So what did he write? It doesn't matter what he wrote. It says he stooped down and he began to write. So when they continued asking him, they didn't just stop, they kept badgering him. Isn't that what Satan does? He badgers us. You're a failure. You're a horrible parent. You're a horrible husband. You're a horrible wife. You're a horrible child. You're a horrible student. And he starts condemning you. And he reminds you of all the bad things that you've done. All the bad things that you're involved in. And he sits there and whispers to you, you're a failure. Nobody loves you. God hates you. And lists all the reasons. Are you there today? Are you being reminded how horrible you are this morning? That's what these guys were doing. They were accusing this woman, trying to get Jesus to mess up. But look what he says. He says, I agree with you, now let's go kill her. Is that what he said? So when he continued asking him, he lifted up himself and he said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. He doesn't address stoning her by the law. He just simply looks at them and he says this, If you're without sin, pick up a stone and throw it first. How oftentimes it is that we judge people and we want to condemn them and we want to hurt them. Bless God if they got what they deserved. Did you know that we all deserve hell? Every single one of us deserve hell. We have no right to condemn anybody else. He looked him in the eye and said, If you're without sin, pick up the first stone. See, the problem was, they already came loaded with stones. They were ready to go. They were carrying the biggest stones that they could carry with them. Because they already had it set in their mind that this woman was a dead woman walking. Maybe that's the way the world looks at you. Maybe the world looks at you like, you know what? There's no sense in having you. You're a mess up. You might as well just go and die. Because you have no use in this world. May I tell you? That's a lie from Satan himself. Yes, we've sinned. Yes, we've messed up. And if we were all honest this morning, and I could raise my hand first, I've had a rough week at times. Things happened in my life, really condemned. But may I tell you, that's not the end of the story. He that has this as no sin, let him cast the first stone. When that takes place, and again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Wow. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. I could just hear it. Thump. Thump, thump. The rocks that they were going to throw just dropped to the ground because they realized they weren't without sin. Now, I am not saying that those who are guilty ought to just get away with their guilt, ought to get away with the crime. If somebody has committed a crime and they've been proven that they ought to be punished to the fullest extent of the law. This woman should not have been having an adulterous affair. We know this woman should not have been doing that. The man shouldn't have been doing it. They're guilty. Yes, it's not what should be going on. It's a sin. And I'm not condoning sin. And Jesus is not condoning sin. Verse number 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and he saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Where's all those people that were trying to kill you? Where's all those who were accusing you? Of course, the answer is they're gone because they had no right to condemn her. Verse 11, she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Now go and sin no more. Jesus did not say, Well, you're a lucky woman, you got away with it. Go ahead and go back to living the life you were living because it's okay. That's not what he said. He said, I'm not condemning thee. To be condemned means to be separated from God. That means God will not love you. That means God wants nothing to do with you. That you have no hope. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, what you've done is wrong. You have sinned and you have fallen short of God's glory. You have done that. But guess what? I forgive you. No man can condemn you, he said, and I don't condemn you. This morning, you may feel condemned. You may feel like you've messed up to the point that there's no return. You've been trying to do right. You've been trying and you're failing and you're trying and you're failing and you're trying and you're failing. And you're ready to say, I give up. I can't do it no more. May I please beg of you this morning. Jesus is not condemning you. He has come to free you. He doesn't say, it's okay. He doesn't say, go back and continue committing adultery. He doesn't say, it's all right. He says, listen, I forgive you. I'm not condemning you. Now go and live in freedom. If you have been made free by Jesus Christ, if you have gotten forgiven by Jesus Christ, you have freedom to not live in that life anymore. You don't have to go there anymore. But the problem is, we try to then live that life by ourselves. Now, I don't know what happened to her later on. The Bible does not say that she went home and she cleaned up. It doesn't say any of those things. But it does say this, that Jesus didn't condemn her. So why should we condemn her? Let me ask you a question. Do you realize there's somebody in this room that deserves condemnation according to mankind? All of us do. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have messed up. But guess what? Jesus came to save us. He came to clean us. He came to restore us into fellowship with God. He has come to make us what He wants us to be. You don't have to live a life of condemnation. You don't have to live a life of sin. You don't have to live that life. You're free in Jesus. He says, neither do I condemn thee. Now go and sin no more. You say, Brother Brian, but what do I do about my addiction? What do I do about my propensity to wrong, sin, and do those things? Number one, you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. Okay. You realize that you've been forgiven by Jesus Christ. Number two, get help. Don't try to do it yourself. Don't walk in this life all by yourself, because you cannot do it. I cannot do it. We've got to have the power of God. We read and we pray and we come to church. We involve ourselves in small groups. But we get somebody to walk with us and say, listen, I'm struggling. I need your help. I don't want to live this way anymore. That's one of the very first things that I did. When I got saved and I got right with God, I put myself under the leadership of somebody. And I walked along with them. And we met and we prayed and we studied the Bible together. But the world tells us, you're condemned, you're no good. And I tell you, God loves you so much, He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for you. Not only to die, to rise again and to live. You have freedom in Jesus Christ. The world condemns you. Jesus came to free you. So what happened to that woman? I don't know. But I promise you, when she left that temple that day, she was free. This morning, do you need to be free? Do you need to be forgiven? Do you need to be cleansed? And do you need to know that God loves you? He doesn't hate you. He wants to free you this morning. We'll say, Brother Brian, I've already got that figured out. I've been freed. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Now, what about your condemnation of other people? What about your judging other people? You know, that people that don't look like you? The ones that you've never seen before, or you're just assuming there's something wrong with them? What about them? You've been freed. How about walking in freedom with them? How about coming alongside them? And hugging them. And if need to make things right with them, you do that. I love you. How about that? Instead of pointing your fingers, why don't you open your arms? Some of you need that today. Some of you need somebody to just come alongside you and say, it's going to be okay. God loves you. Some of you know you're in the middle of something you shouldn't be in. And you need to get right with God. Do it. He's got his arms open wide.
That's right.
I don't condemn you, Jesus said. Now go and sin no more. I thank God Jesus said those words. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. Do you feel condemned this morning? Do you feel like there's no hope this morning? Do you feel like it's all over this morning? May I tell you, it's not. As long as you're still breathing God's air, there is hope. You see, Brother Brian, I'm so scared to admit it. I don't want to say anything out loud because I don't want people to condemn me. May I tell you, God already knows about it. Why don't you talk to Him about it this morning? If there's wrong in your life, if there's sin in your life, confess it to Him. And then say this, God, I need somebody to walk alongside me to help me. I don't need somebody to condemn me. I need somebody to love me. Because we've all sinned. But God loves us all. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Here's my question. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I want you to consider it. I want you to consider this question. Do I feel condemned this morning like nobody cares about me? If I do, what am I going to do about it? Next question. I need to be forgiven. I need hope. Or maybe you're the one condemning other people. And you don't need to live that way either. Heavenly Father, you know what's going on in our hearts and our lives. Lord, you know what's in our hearts today. God, I don't know exactly why you had me to share these words this morning other than to bring you glory and praise. But I don't know if there's somebody here who is struggling. I'm asking you, Father, that you would bring healing to them right now. Maybe beginning of a new relationship with you. Maybe the beginning of a new relationship with those around them. Because they desperately want to be healed physically, emotionally, and spiritually. May you do that this morning. Thank you for not condemning us. But thank you for forgiving us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Because He is the only way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to you except through Him. So Father, please, would you do what needs to be done? In Christ's name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Ms. Doris, would you play? If you have a need this morning, I invite you to come pray. Maybe pray for somebody. Pray for yourself. But maybe...